the newness of Jesus Christ. That this tired old world comes to something new in Jesus Christ. If you read the wisdom literature of the Old Testament, especially the book of Ecclesiastes, you know, there comes to a place that maybe sounds rather dark or pessimistic, but I think it's actually very profoundly true. It says there is nothing new under the sun. What has been will come again, and what is coming has been before. So never get carried away by somebody announcing, we're going to do something totally new here, you know. It doesn't usually work out that way. Just a little over 100 years ago, commemorating the end of the First World War. And you know, that was the war that was billed to be the war to end all wars, the war that was going to end all wars. Well, how did that work out? You know, not so much, right? And about the same time as that, is somebody else, something else, one of these new things is breaking out in the Russian Revolution, for example. This great new idea of the, you know, communist, the Bolshevik revolution, of that. This is going to be the new order of things in the world. Well, that didn't work out so well either. The only thing that might have been new about that was maybe new ways to provide misery for people or something like that, you know? So beware of finding anything much new in this world. And it's really profoundly true. All of our lives, no matter what's happened in our lives, no matter how rich or powerful or how much pleasure we've had or this or that or the other, they're all going to end in the same place. That is, in a hole in the ground. We are all going to die. And there's nothing new about that. That's the same old thing. And it tends to, as I said, the wisdom literature of the Jewish people had profound reflections on this. It said, it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. And this understanding that, you know, death is the end. As the prophet Isaiah says, it is the veil that veils all people. And we have absolutely no power, absolutely no ability to see beyond that veil or to go beyond that veil. And so that's what's so remarkable about the newness of Jesus Christ and the way of Jesus Christ. So if you're one of those people who love the new thing, well, be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord Jesus Christ is always new. The gospel is always new. It breaks into this tired old world and provides a new way. Because Jesus shows us, he is the one who lifts that veil. You know, at the moment of the crucifixion, do you remember one of the things that happened? The veil of the temple was torn in two. And of course, Jesus does this in a very interesting way. He does it by going through death himself and being buried and then rising again. But he introduces, as he does so, a whole new way of living. To be his disciples, to live the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's sort of very powerful about this gospel of the prodigal son. We've all heard it so often. But one of the things I just sort of think is interesting about it is if you look at it from the point of view of maybe literature or something like that, let's look at the characters a little bit, okay? The older son, the younger son, nothing new about that story, you know? Taking your money, going it off, and blowing it on wine, woman, and song, and then, you know, having a change of heart, you know, when you hit bottom. That's a pretty old story, isn't it? Nothing new there. The older brother. All right, this no good brother of mine comes home. What does he think he's doing? My dad never did anything. Resentment,
you know, jealousy, bitterness. Nothing new there, right? Pretty old story.
But who's the character who's not right out of typecasting? The father. The father is a very strange character, isn't he? He's very strange. Because he's so merciful. It's not at all what anyone expected. And he's just over the top merciful. You know, I mean, this younger son basically said to him, I wish you were dead. Isn't that when somebody comes and asks for their inheritance? I said, you would be better off to me if you were already gone and out of the way. It's basically what he said to his dad. And it's interesting, when the son comes back, the father sees him a long way away because he's been looking for him. Would you be looking for that no good to come home? Other than to like say, I thought you'd be coming. And that's probably what you would say. Oh yeah, you come dragging back in here. Well, I'll show you. You know, but that's not what happens, is it? He's embraced. He's restored to his dignity as a son. That dignity that the father would not let him throw away. And this father, of course, is the image of the heavenly father. And before you get too sympathetic with the older brother, I heard a great homily one time, and it just ended up with this. Sometimes some people like get a little bothered. They think the older brother's been treated unfairly. And the priest preaching this homily just said, whoever told you you were the older brother? Okay? So put yourself in this story as the younger brother. It's a lot safer that way, I think. Fresh, new, unexpected, refreshing. Even the younger son wasn't expecting anything like this. And this is the way the Heavenly Father is with us. We have been given so much. We have been given everything. Even more than this younger son has been given. And for the most part, we probably don't have too much to show for it, actually. But the Father doesn't hold that over us. And he will not let us refuse to be his children. Once you've been baptized, you're a child of God, and that's it. You can't throw it away. He won't let you. He's so surprising. He's so new. This great reality of mercy. Because that's what God's answer to all the, you know, sometimes we get all just bothered about things, you know, like the older brother. Why is it things are, you know, whatever, or, you know, we think, why is the world this way? Why do things happen this way? Why? Ooh. And it's interesting, God doesn't give us an answer of the sort we're looking for. He doesn't say, oh, let me sit you down and I'll explain it to you. And here's the proof at the end, QED, and that's the answer right there, you know? That's not what he does. What he does is he just swallows it all up in mercy. Mercy is sometimes described as an ocean. And if mercy is an ocean, all the evil and sin of the world is less than one drop. That's how vast the mercy of God is. And he just sort of makes it insignificant. He takes its meaning away. Because when there's this much mercy, when there's this much love, when there's this much life, what does that matter anymore? And so I really encourage you to realize how blessed you are. Every one of you tonight, before you go to bed, I want you to do an examination of conscience. Yeah, do your examination of conscience for your sins of the day. But this is another one you ought to do every single day. Have an examination of thanksgiving. And if you can come up with one single thing that hasn't just been given to you by God, one way or the other, let me know. I'd love to know about it. And then we can live in a new way towards other people. We get trapped in all these bad old ways. You know? We get trapped in these bad, you know, and we do. You know, what's the on the human individual level, you know what the best predictor of future behavior is? Past behavior. That's the best predictor of future behavior. You know, it's that same old truth of the wisdom literature, what has been will be again. But we can break out of that cycle through the mercy of God, through the love of God that comes to us from the pierced heart of Jesus Christ. And as his disciples, we have to. We have to show the world a new way. You know? We have to show in this world that's so caught up with getting back at each other, not let anybody get away with anything. Just think of Washington, D.C., for example. You know? Stop it. Stop it. Think of the family feuds. Stop it. Forgive. Be merciful. Be loving. Think of this world in which, you know, so much of what is good and pure and beautiful is corrupted in so many ways by so much that is impure. You know? And instead, choose the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be a light in the world. Be kind. Be generous. What do you have to lose? One of the things about the way of the Lord Jesus Christ is, one of the most attractive things about it, and if you want to look, if it's worth it in the long run, it's no regrets. Have you ever regretted being merciful? Being forgiving, being patient, being pure, being kind. Have you ever regretted that? There's no regret. You have nothing to regret. You know, you have nothing to fault yourself for. Now somebody else, well, whatever they've done, they've done. But this is what is new. This old, tired world is looking for something new. And Jesus Christ is always new, yesterday, today, forever. And the way that people see him today is in you and in me. We've got to be different. If we don't stand out, we're not doing a good job. My sister one time had I was doing this little retreat day for a confirmation preparation class, and one of the activities, a really great activity, it said, if you were arrested and put on trial for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would the people in your house say, oh, definitely. She is a disciple of Jesus Christ. She is so patient, so forgiving, so pure, so lovely, so good. That's the only thing that can explain it. Do your classmates at school think that about you? This guy, he's obviously a follower of Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that can explain how somebody in the midst of all this stuff that's going on can be so good. Such a good friend. So what good in however many other ways. To the people in your neighborhood, is it obvious that that's a house of Christians over there? And not just because you've got the statue of the Blessed Mother in the front yard, okay? But because this is the house that from which all kinds of goodness comes and is welcoming to all kinds of sorrows. We have to be different. We have to be able to be convicted beyond the shadow of a doubt that we are followers of this new way. We should be surprising like this father in the story of the prodigal son. What a crazy man he was. And yet, that's the kind of crazy God we have. And if we are to be his followers, we're called to be crazy like that.